I'd like you to go in the Old Testament with me tonight. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. I'm glad Jesus saves, aren't you? And I imagine we ought to be saying more and more, bless the Lord. I think about how short life is and how much time we waste with all the sorrows and griefs and groanings. We need to learn to praise the Lord all over again. Lord, help us. Let's stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's Word. Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you to meet with us tonight as we look into thy word. These next few moments we have together, I pray, Lord, would be a blessing and a help and an encouragement. I pray, first of all, that Christ would be exalted. Then I pray, Lord, that the saints, Lord, would be edified. And Lord, I pray tonight if there be one here without Christ as Savior, that they would see that need. Lord, strengthen us through thy word. Help us to realize what we have in thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Of course, as we went through this, we realized in chapter number 8 that all the people are gathered together in the street before the water gate. Ezra's been reading to them the book of the law of Moses. And the Levites have been helping, getting the message out throughout the crowds. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 7 that the people stood in their place. And the Bible says in verse number 8, "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." Now, when we look at this, we realize some things were happening. As we think about this subject, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength," there's some things that surround that, and I'm preaching on that. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I want us to look at this story and get the full prospect of everything that's given to us. And I think we're going to see some things that surround it that will help us to live our lives today. First of all, I want you to see the remorse. The remorse. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 9, in the middle of the verse, or at the end of the verse, where it says, "Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Now, in just reading this, you may automatically think, well, they're so excited because they're hearing the word read, but that's not what's happening. Because the Bible says, "Mourn not nor weep." So they're weeping because of sadness. There's a great remorse in the lives of the people. As they heard the law, they realized their guilt. They realized how they had turned their back on God and how they as a people, as a nation, had forsaken God. And by the way, the law always shows men their sins. Even now, the Bible says that it's the law that's the schoolmaster that shows us our need of the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Ezra was reading and as these Levites were going out and spreading the words of the law of Moses, their hearts began to break. Now, this was the first day of the seventh month, which is very important when you're studying the law and you're studying the books of Moses. It's a time of feasts, if you will. And we see that, that on this day, this first day of the seventh month, all the people are gathered together around this water gate, before the water gate. And Ezra is standing up on a pulpit of wood and he's preaching what the Bible says. And the people are revering the Bible, and they fall on their face and they lift up their hands and they're saying, amen, amen. And then all of a sudden, as he reads the Word of God and as these Levites go out and give distinctly what the Bible is saying, their hearts begin to be crushed because they're realizing that the God that blessed them, the God that delivered them out of the land of Egypt, this is the God that they have forsaken. This is the God that they turned their back on. This is the God that they said no to. This is the God that they had failed to worship for all these years. If you'll read, you're going to find that these feasts weren't even observed that we can read of in the Bible for 1,000 years or more. We find Joshua, the son of Nun, was the last time they were observing these things. But even in the great days of King David and King Solomon, we don't read of this. And I'm telling you, these people are so sad because they're seeing all that's going on. They're seeing what they've done. And as they realized their sin and they saw how they had forsaken the things of God, there was a great regret and a great remorse in their life. As they heard the words of the law, the Bible teaches us, they begin to weep. But then I want you to see the reminder. The Bible says in verse 9, before that, before it says mourn not nor weep, it says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. The Bible says in verse number 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Now Nehemiah hadn't been mentioned here in chapter number 8. Ezra has been reading, and the priests, these Levites have been going out and helping these people to understand the words of the law. But now we find Nehemiah in chapter number 8 and verse number 9. He's not the one that's been reading the law to the people, but he sees their sorrow. He sees their remorse. And Nehemiah, the Bible says, which is the Tirshatha, which means he's the governor, and we know that. And Ezra and the Levites reminded the people of what day it is. This isn't a day of mourning. It's the first day of the seventh month. It's a holy day in the month of the feast. It's a day of holy convocation according to the book of the law of Moses, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 35. And the Bible says, mourn not nor weep. Now they've just heard all these things that crushed them. But the tone of these Levites change, and the tone of Ezra and even the tone of Nehemiah, for they see the remorse, they see, in all honesty, the repentance of the people of Israel. And by the way, I believe Christians need to have a life of repentance. We need to understand that and to realize it's very important. So many times Christians go along their way and they forsake God and they fail God and they never get it right with God. They never change about that. And well, it's sad. So many Christians go no further than truly the day they were saved in their life for the Lord. Here's a people that's been delivered. Here's a people that's had the hand of God, the blessings of God. And now they hear this and they begin to weep. And you would think, well, that's good. They need to weep. They need to cry. But when these men saw their sorrow, they wanted them to understand while there should be sorrow for their sins, they have to move on to joy. Even more so for us now that have the full revelation of God's Word. See, Christianity is not about being in sorrow and oppression all the time. And some people, that's what they equate Christianity to. I believe a lot of people don't want to be saved because Christians are so dreadful sometimes, you know? There's no joy. But I want you to know tonight that Christianity, it's not about all of this sorrow and all the oppression. It's about life and it's about liberty. It's about holiness and it's about happiness. Many people think it's about rules and regulations. But when somebody gets saved, they desire to change, and there's a privilege of living for the Lord that they realize. It's not a book of rules and regulations. It's a book of life. It's a book of liberty. The rules and regulations that people say are rules and regulations are things that are there for our protection. It's telling us how to live our life so that we can have the blessings of God and have peace in this world and have peace that passes all understanding. That's what the Christian life is all about. So many cannot get past their past. And when they're saved, they go around with the molly grubs and the poochy lip and the clabber jaw. You say, what does all that mean? You figure it out. In Tennessee, they use that saying all the time, all of those sayings. And I know exactly what it means. And most Christians I've met seem to have a case of this along the way. But we see that people go through this, and a lot of Christians just go, they're always down in the dumps. And I want you to know that's not what the Christian life's about. Saved people ought not be that way. Yes, there is a time for mourning, and there is a time for weeping, and there is a time for sorrow. But that should not be the most part of our lives. We will weep. We will be sad. But I want you to know there's one in heaven that can turn your mourning into joy and your sorrow into shouting and your woe into wonder. His name is the Lord. We see this remorse and we see this reminder, and now we see the reason. How can they go from sorrow to joy? And how can they go from mourning to joy? And how can they go from oppression to victory? And from defeat to victory? How can that happen? Well, the Bible says in verse number 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's how. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah realizes that their mourning had to turn to joy if they were going to accomplish anything for the Lord. When one lives in constant anguish and in constant sorrow, I want you to know they'll never effectively serve the Lord. Some people just want to be in that kind of state. You ever met people? Have you ever met anybody with the molly grubs? You say, I don't know what they are, but you say, I know I've met somebody with them. How many would say, I've met a Christian with the molly grubs? How many would be honest and say, I've met them tonight? I mean, I'm talking about a constant case of the molly grubs. I'm talking about they're always down. They're never up. There's never a good day. Nothing ever goes right at church. Nothing ever goes right at home. Nothing ever goes right at work. I'm telling you, I don't like to be around people like that, because it starts to rub off. And boy, the more I'm around it, the more I realize I can't handle things like that too often. So I got to get around somebody that's going to rub off on the right way, you know? And I wonder, these people that go to work with all these different things, and the people that are around them, they begin to look at their life, you know, and then that person comes up, you know, and he talks about, boy, I tell you, church is just, it's just dead and dragging and blah, 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 blah. See, I do that sometimes. My wife has to listen to me. You know? And so she just has to slap me back in my place. And not literally, I mean, she has to just remind me of certain things, right? That's what I mean. She has to remind me of certain things, just like they reminded them of certain things, that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? But you get around people, and I tell you, they're just so down in the dumps all the time, and you begin to think, man, I just don't, whew, good night. I guess life is pretty bad. You know? I guess there's not much good going on. Boy, this world's bad shape. I don't see anything right about it. I just wish I'd die. I mean, honestly, you ever been around people? I've been around people, and I've walked away thinking, I think I'd be better off dead now. Now, some of y'all might think I'd be better off dead too. Just don't tell me if you think that way. But see, there's strength for our days. And there's strength for our life. And yes, the world doesn't look so good with all the events. And certainly, things haven't always happened the way that we wanted them to happen in church. But see, our strength is not in how many people come to church, and our strength is not in what happens in this world, but the Bible teaches us our strength is the joy of the Lord. And I want to tell you something, regardless of what happens in this world and what happens in church and what happens in our family, I have Jesus. There's joy in serving Jesus. Pastor Sexton says, I don't know how many times I've heard him say, where's the joy in serving Jesus anymore? Seems like people lost the joy. And preachers are the worst, you know. Preachers want to get up and just talk about how bad everything is. But I like to every now and then just look and see how good some things are. And be excited about what is right and what is well and what is going on. So we begin to look at this and we see that Nehemiah is seeing this sadness and you know, they were just going into this thing, and if they would focus on this and they would dwell on this, then they would be truly in a state of constant anguish and constant sorrow and constant sadness. But you know what he does? He says, control your emotions. Now, hold on. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We have to learn to control our emotions, because sometimes we just get unreasonable with them. I'm not talking about the shouting. I'm talking about the sorrow. Either God's on the throne or He's not. Now look, we all have sad things happen. We all go through difficult things. And I tell you, there's been things that I've seen in people's lives, and I just wonder how in the world they're going to make it. And it's usually those that go through those that have taught me this is how you make it. You learn to trust the Lord. I've talked to the families of those. I've talked to the families of those whose children were killed in this van wreck over here in the middle of the state. And I tell you, they still have tears about it. But I've seen the work of the Lord in their lives. And I've watched. Brad's mom's an amazing lady. She's a stalwart of strength. And she's found the joy of the Lord being her strength. She's found something. And then we was talking to Darcy's parents. And I tell you, they found strength from the Lord through all those different things. Do they cry? Well, sure. There'll be times. But I sense when you're around them, they've learned to live for the Lord. And to go on with God, to trust the Lord through it all. They'd learn to control their emotions, because emotionally, I think we would all just go apart, wouldn't we? But there's a time somebody needs to shake us and say, it's time to stop crying. I'm talking about constantly. And sometimes, you know, I've dealt with people, and people have people that pass away and in tragic circumstances. And a year later, I mean, they're still, you're just always down, always down. And I don't know what would happen if something would happen to my family. I can't say that, but I found this, that Nehemiah and Ezra and these Levites are saying, get a hold of yourself. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Yeah, there's sadness in what you've done, but there's strength in the Lord. And you need to turn the mourning to joy. Look what you have. The walls are built. The temple's restored. And the book of the law is being read. Rejoice. And sometimes Christians just want to go around all the time. You know? It's time to get over some things, you know? It's time to get over somebody that maybe treated you wrong. It's time to get over it. I'm telling you, the Lord will help you. He'll give you the strength to do that. Even in the deepest of agonies we go through, we cannot be unreasonable in our sorrow. It's not heartless. What I'm saying is not heartless. It's the promise that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And Nehemiah had to help them to understand this There's all kinds of reasons. I'm going to give you three very quickly. First of all, they had to understand that they had to get over this sorrow and all this weeping because, number one, they had to prepare and perform the duties of the feast. They had to carry on the work of God. Do you understand that? They had to carry on. And because some tragic event happens in our lives does not mean that we quit serving God. We don't always understand. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I can promise you this, God makes no mistakes. He's always on the throne. I'm not trying to be mean or harsh. I'm just saying sometimes so many people quit serving the Lord because of certain things. Number two, they had to carry on their life in the land. Here they are back in this promised land that God had given them. This land of the victorious Christian life, if you will. Do you understand what we're seeing tonight? There's not one of us that's not had our heart broken, and there's not one of us that's not been offended in some way. But by the way, the Bible says, blessed are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if we're offended, it's our fault, not the other person. You realize that, don't you? If we ever get offended at someone or something, it's our fault because nothing's going to offend us. If we're doing the right thing, we don't need to be offended because somebody else does the wrong thing, you know? We just have to continue doing right. But then the third thing was they had to be ready and resist the attack of the enemy. You want to know what happens when you live in a state of constant anguish? Satan will continue to pour it on. He'll add fuel to the fire. You're going to have strength. Well, where did I get that strength? The joy of the Lord. He saved you. He's going to take you to heaven. Not one heartache that you've ever gone through that He didn't go through it with you. Not one tragedy you've ever dealt with that He didn't have it dealt with Him too. His hurts are our hurts. His joys are our joys. You understand that, right? You see, we've got to see this. This is the reason tonight that we can go on. I'm not going to say there's not going to be times where we mourn. I'm not going to say there's not going to be times where we weep. And I think that those times, because Solomon, the wise man, said there is a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's times. There is a season for every part. There's times for every season. And we have to understand that. But it's not to live in... My grandmother, I love my grandmother. My grandfather died in 1970. And for 10 or 12 years, she lived in constant anguish. Constant anguish. Oh, still went to church. But I tell you, all she ever wanted to talk about was how she missed Papa. And she was defeated in so many ways. Well, Papa's in heaven. She's still not there yet. She'll be 98 this month. But I want you to know, through those years, I didn't see the joy that I saw later on when she finally realized everything's going to be all right. Now, she still talks about Papa. Now she talks about going to see him. It's a little bit different, isn't it? A little bit different. We see this and we realize that sometimes we have to move on. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have nights where we cry. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have days where we cry. But they were saying, look, this is a day that's holy unto the Lord. This is not a day of weeping. This is not a day of mourning. This is a day of holy convocation. This is a day to rejoice. This is a day because this is the first day of the seventh month. This is the day of the month of feast. Do you understand? They're saying, this is a time where God has commanded we rejoice. Get a hold of your emotions. And we have to learn that. And I think it's something that's very important. Because we're emotional people, aren't we? But we have to learn how to control that. We have to realize, how could they move past the sorrow and the weakness of the flesh? Well, the joy of the Lord is their strength. That's how they could do it. But then I want you to see the response. The Bible says there in verse 10, He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. And verse number 11 says, so the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood the words. They realized there was something more important going on than them. There was a work that needed to be done. God had delivered them. God had allowed them to come to this place, but now there's a work to be done. By the way, sometimes we just have to learn to move on in our lives. I'm not talking about fresh off of sorrow and fresh off of tragedy. God gives us a time for mourning and a time for weeping, and He allows us to have tears all throughout our life. But dear friends, sometimes it's time to move on. And we have to do that. You say, are you preaching to me? No, I'm preaching through the book of Nehemiah. It just happens to be that that's where we are. And if you feel like I'm preaching to you, then you need to examine yourself and say, maybe the Lord's trying to speak to me about something here tonight. Do you understand? That's the way God works. I have pointedly preached before, but when I preach through a book, it just falls where it falls. When we realize these things, when we understand this, they understood, the Bible says, the words that were declared unto them. Not the words of the law, but the words that Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites were saying. They understood that. They did what they were told to do. They went their way. They ate the fat. They drank the sweet. And they sent portions to them for whom nothing was prepared. In other words, they had charity. So that's what happens when you start obeying the Lord. You start learning to love others. Portions for them for whom nothing was prepared. Talking about those that are without. They prepared things for them. Isn't that something? They gave something for them. Sent things to them. When we realize the promises of God, we can go on. But there's too many that are content with sitting on the premises and fail to be standing on the promises. And these responded to the truth of God's Word. What victory there is for every believer as we realize the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you understand they did not even have the full revelation of the Bible at this time? This is the last piece, really, of Old Testament history, this and Malachi. These were the last books written, Nehemiah and Malachi. So we understand that this was right before those silent years that we don't have in our Bible. We understand that this was the last times of those times before Christ would come of Scripture that we would have. Now, there's some great works from that time. You can read the works of Josephus, and you can read the Apocrypha, and you can get certain understanding. But what is preserved and what has been canonized is what we hold in our hands and what we hide in our hearts. It's this precious book. And so we understand that these certainly were difficult days, but they still didn't have, Christ had not yet come. Oh, it had been prophesied. It had been told about. They knew that Christ was coming if they understood the words that they had. But we know that Christ did come. And He did die on a cross. And He was buried. And He did rise again the third day. And we have not only the Gospels, but we have the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament church through the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the epistles of Paul and those of Peter, and we have the writings of James, and we have those blessed books given by John, and we have the Revelation, and we have Jude, and we have all those different things. We have it all. And for those people that ought to have strength tonight to live for the Lord, it's those of us that have the Word of God. Look. Cry when you need to cry, but don't let it destroy your life. Mourn when you need to mourn, but realize God's left you here for a purpose. And it's to carry on His plan and His will and to honor Him with our lives. We may not be able to do things in our own strength, And the sorrows of life may seem to be overwhelming at times. And I want you to know that Satan desires to keep us in an attitude of defeat and to make us believe that our days are useless. But the Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice." We will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." There's many of us that are not living in the presence of God the way that we should. I think of Jeremiah, what he said, and I close with two verses of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 16, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." There's joy in the Word of God. There's joy in the presence of God. And I want you to know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 8, "Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." There's joy in knowing the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. God doesn't teach us we cannot weep and mourn. God does not teach us that we cannot have sorrow. But God does teach us that we have a life to live. And we cannot dwell in defeat. And the way that we can have the strength to overcome is the joy of the Lord. That's why Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit abides in us to help us to live this life. There are things that many of you I've heard say, "How could people make it through this without the Lord?" And I can honestly say, I have no idea. Because some of the most difficult things I've ever seen, if it weren't for the Lord, I believe many people would have folded. But God's grace is so good. I wish I could explain to you why everything happens. Every tragedy. Every heartache. Every sorrow. But I can't. But I know one day we'll understand it all. And when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, the questions we think that are so important now will be all erased. Because we'll begin to realize that He always loved us and that He did what was best in our lives. I can't understand all that. I believe it though. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for Your love. It's been good to open up Your Word, to receive from it that which You have for us. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we've been helped by it and strengthened by it. I pray that it's made a difference. Lord, help us to realize that our strength is the joy of the Lord. And help us to live our life in that joy. And Lord, when the heartaches come, help us to trust in You. Thank You for tears and for weeping and for mourning. The times that are right to do. But Lord, help us to realize that while weeping does endure for a night, that there is joy that's coming in the morning. And until we're with You face to face, beholding Your presence, Lord, we realize this world's filled with heartaches. So may we draw strength from You through this joy of having You live in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. What page, Brother Chris?
276.
276. Jesus is all the world to me.